we rejoice to be able to celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. It's nice to welcome the practically a pilgrim image as she comes here. This is the third time? Second time. Third time she has the image of Our Lady of Fatima has arrived here in the shrine. So we welcome her and we celebrate her feast day. Now, you know, in the church's liturgy, this is considered an optional memorial, as if we don't even have to make mention of her. But in the devotional life of the church, Our Lady of Fatima is a big figure. She's the modern apparition, and she's the one who addressed the matters of faith to the modern problems. And perhaps this is why she's attracted so much attention. At least I've always found the message of Fatima so fascinating, because on the one hand, she spoke about big, important, massive things. And on the other hand, she spoke to very little, simple children. So Our Lady of Fatima, first of all, she spoke about the war, she spoke about the need for conversion, she showed the children a vision of hell, she spoke about what would happen to the Pope, and prophecies of the future. She spoke about the necessity of praying the rosary. All these things are a really big message and so relevant for our times. And then, on the other hand, she spoke to children, little children. I mean, the oldest of the three little shepherds was 10 years old, Lucia. Then Francisco was 9. Jacinta was 7 years old. I mean, they didn't know how to read. They knew they were simple children in a remote province, Fatima. I just find that a fascinating revelation of how God works, right? He's always doing something big. He's always aware of developments in world history and things happening on the world scene. But he's also working powerfully in the hearts of the simplest, littlest children, including us, I hope. So that's Our Lady of Fatima, and we celebrate her feast day today. And we also celebrate the birthday of our sister. Happy birthday. it was so publicly announced that she's 70 years old today. I don't have to ask whether I should say her age. Really 70 years old. 70 years in the scriptures, of course, is evidence of God's favor, right? That's the life. That's a lifetime already. So 70 years, 80 for those who are strong. But you have many more. I'll just say a little bit more about Fatima, because the message of Fatima has always attracted me, but I never had a strong interest in going there. For some reason, that just never came up to me. But I realized today that 1 year from now, I will probably speak about Fatima again, and I'll be speaking about my own visit there, because between May 13th this year and May 13th next year, I'll be making a pilgrimage to Fatima. In fact, it's 6 months from now. So halfway between this feast day and next year's feast day, I'll be in Fatima on retreat. It happened this way. The clergy of the Diocese of Parañaque scheduled a pilgrimage retreat to Spain and Fatima in November, and they announced it late last year. And it's for the diocesan clergy, so I wasn't included. For some reason, it struck me as something that would really be a good thing. And I said, you know, could I join this, even though I don't qualify? And they didn't give me any answer. Month after month went by, they didn't say anything. Finally, I went back to the office and I said, you know, I made this request, and I thought maybe if you have any extra space, you might squeeze another priest into your pilgrimage. And the secretary said, oh, yeah, let me check. No answer. I was left in this limbo. And finally, they told me that they had, I think, space for 50 or 45, and there were only 33 priests signed up, so they were happy to, because, of course, I have to pay. And they said they're happy to have another pilgrim. So, yes, they put me on the list, and I'll be joining the clergy. It's a pilgrimage, but also a 3-day retreat in Fatima itself, middle of November this year. So I'm looking forward to that. Seems to me that that was God's providence and God's gift to me to be able to join that pilgrimage. And next year I'll be telling you about it. Okay, so, but the greatness of Fatima is its relevance. And Pope John Paul II knew this very well because he had a personal experience of the impact of Our Lady of Fatima. You know, he attributed to her, directly to her, his survival of the assassination attempt, which took place on May 13th, right, 1981. He was, that was the prophecy. That was the prophecy of Fatima, that the bishop dressed in white is going to be attacked. He was attacked. He didn't die. And St. John Paul said, it was one hand that pulled the trigger, another hand that guided the bullet. So, and it was John Paul, St. John Paul, who put this feast day on the calendar. So I think we're in good hands. We're in good company when we honor Our Lady of Fatima. In the scriptures today, let's turn to the scriptures of Tuesday of the fourth week of Easter. I'm sure you noticed that the gospel, in part, was a repetition of the gospel we had on Sunday, in which Jesus spoke about his sheep. It was Good Shepherd Sunday, and he spoke about his sheep who hear his voice, who he knows them, they follow him, he gives them eternal life. Very beautiful description of him and his relationship with the sheep. But today's gospel gives us the context of that statement. Right before he speaks about his sheep, he's questioned by people who he says are not his sheep because they will not believe. And that helps us understand why in Sunday's gospel, he was talking about his sheep as though he was talking about somebody else. Instead of saying, you're my sheep, you hear my voice, I know you. He was speaking in the third person. My sheep know me, I know them. They follow me, I give them eternal life, as if he's talking about somebody else. Well, that's because the people that he's talking to have hardened their hearts against him, and he says, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep, which tells us something quite serious about us, about our responsibility. God wants us to be his sheep. He calls us as his sheep, but the choice is ours. If we refuse to believe, then we won't be counted among the sheep. That's the kind of seriousness Our Lady had when she spoke to the children. She spoke about very serious responsibilities to children who had no idea what she was talking about. We have a great responsibility to decide to follow the Lord, to listen to his voice, and to follow him. If we don't, then we're counted among the goats. If we do, we're counted among the sheep. Purely by his grace, he knows us, we follow him, he gives us eternal life. And they shall never perish, never be snatched out of his hand. Very great promise. But his hand is not grasping. His hand is not forcing us into heaven. He's holding us gently, which means we can leave if we want to be goats. I'm not saying that's not a good option, but that's the freedom of the human person. So let us listen to the voice of our shepherd and follow him. In the first reading, we have another indication of how the good shepherd attracts people. Yes, he works by grace. He works in his own mysterious way by the power of his spirit, touching people's hearts. But he also uses instruments. I spoke about this yesterday. He uses little instruments, like little shepherds. The very first proclamation of the gospel in Antioch, this is Antioch in Syria, was offered by some people who fled the persecution. We don't even know who they were. Those who had been scattered by the persecution. They went all over the place. They went to Phoenicia. They went to Cyprus. They went to Antioch, like the ends of the earth to those people. And wherever they went, they shared the good news. They preached the word to no one but Jews, except some of the Cypriots and some Cyrenians who came to Antioch began to speak to the Greeks as well. I mean, now, what an unheard of thing to do, for Jews to talk to Gentiles. That's what they did. They were overflowing with the good news. Now, who are these evangelists? As I say, we don't know. They were little shepherds. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So there was this wave of conversion that took place kind of anonymously. A bunch of people believed, some people who told them about Jesus. Only after there was evidence of God working did the apostle send Barnabas, the great evangelist apostle Barnabas, missionary Barnabas. So he goes to Antioch and he recognizes God is already at work here. He saw the grace of God, it says. Now he saw, he can't see grace. He saw the effect of grace. He with eyes of faith, he could see God was present working among the people. He rejoiced and he encouraged them because Barnabas is son of encouragement. So a large number of people added to the Lord. You see this grace of conversion, this kind of explosion of life among the Gentiles. And then Barnabas goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. Saul, who had been kind of banished to the outer regions because they didn't know what to do with him and some people didn't trust him. Barnabas knew him and he said, this guy should be with the Christian community. So he brought Saul from Tarsus to Antioch, and then Saul and Barnabas, who became Paul and Barnabas, became the best known missionaries. Now we think of the big names, we think of Paul and Barnabas, we think of St. John Paul II, we think of the famous ones, but and that's right, we should honor how God works through the big people, but on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, we should really also recognize how God works through the little people. Well, little Jacinta, little Francisco. Francisco and Jacinta, they never learned to read. They died just a couple of years after Our Lady appeared to them. I mean, it's as if they were so insignificant that they didn't have any role at all. No, actually they had a massive role in the announcement of the gospel to modern times. Saint Francisco, Saint Jacinta, they're canonized saints. Their older cousin, they were sister or brother, the older cousin, Lucia, well, she lived in our lifetime. She just died 10 years ago. So, you see, the message of Fatima is a message for our own times. And Lucia became the spokeswoman of the message, even telling the story of her two cousins. She knew them better than anyone. So, my point is, the gospel spreads by the power of God, by the grace of God, but it also spreads through the instruments he chooses, big or small, and usually small. That's us, the sheep. The sheep. Why doesn't the shepherd do it all himself? Because he dignifies his sheep. He wants us little sheep to be part of his plan of salvation. So let us listen to his voice and follow him and receive the great gift of eternal life.